The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Donald Trump has been saying things like calling his domestic rivals scum. He has warned of migrants conquering American communities. And he's said all the scum that we have to deal with that hate our country is a bigger enemy than China or Russia. They've invaded, conquered, infested, is what he's been saying about people. And he's also said he could use the military to quell protests. If you don't believe me, hear it from his own mouth.
Americans have watched their communities destroyed by this sudden, suffocating inundation of illegal aliens.
I said, if you let them in, it's going to be hell. They are vicious, violent criminals.
These are stone cold killers. They'll walk into your kitchen, they'll cut your throat. These are people at the highest level of killing that cut your throat, and they won't even think about it the next morning.
These people are roaming our country. They could go into a restaurant, they can do whatever they want, and they will kill you because they are wired that way.
These people are animals. Now they'll say, oh, that's a terrible thing for him to say. No, these people are animals.
It's in their genes, and we got a lot of bad genes in our country right now.
They came in from the Congo. They come in from South America. They come in from Asia. They come in from all over the world. These are hardened, horrible criminals, and we have to get them the hell out of our country because they're ruining the fabric of our country.
Venezuelan gangs are taking over the real estate. They're becoming real estate developers.
Venezuelan gangs have taken over entire apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado. On day one of my new administration, the invasion of savage criminals ends. And on that same day, the largest deportation in American history begins.
That was put together by the Politico website, and it's only a fraction of the stuff that he has been saying at his campaign rallies, talking about people roaming our country, people who are animals, saying that violence is in their genes, that they'll go into your kitchen and cut your throat. Marion McKeown, why is it that so much of America is receptive to that type of racist nonsense?
It's a really good question, Matt, and I'll answer as best I can. I think that America has definitely lurched to the right on immigration, absolutely, in the last several years. A lot of that, I think, is because of this perception that after Title 43 was lifted, which stopped migrants from coming in on the southern border during COVID, that there was this huge surge. And there was a surge, and it did seem that the Biden administration wasn't doing enough to deal with it. And I think, in fact, they weren't. I think that was legitimate. I think Trump seized on that. What he has done is people who are coming in over the border, mostly they are asylum seekers. They're people who are looking for work. They are not these criminals that Trump is suggesting. They're mothers who are fleeing violence in the Honduran Triangle and those countries with small children. That's who's coming over the border. And so he is completely distorting this to instill fear and hatred in Americans. But he's also expanded now to his talk about what he's calling the lunatic radical left and the enemy within, which he's also describing them as. I was at a Trump event in Coachella on Saturday night, and it was so dark and dystopian. And Trump didn't even seem, frankly, to want to be there. He seemed bored. He seemed fed up. The energy was pretty lethargic. But the crowd, the hostility in the crowd, which was a much younger crowd, a lot more women, and most of them under 40, and a lot more Hispanics as well there, I have to say. So it seems to me that this message of Trump's is spreading and that it is getting resonance, and it's very, very alarming. And you know, of course, he has an event planned in Madison Square Garden on tentatively for October 27th in New York. Now, he's got no chance of winning New York, obviously, but to me this is a chilling sort of throwback, and it's not just me who's saying it, to the rally that was held there in 1939, the Bund rally. And I think that all of this imagery for Trump is very intentional, and I cannot believe it's found the audience it has, and that we are where we are, where this election is literally neck and neck.
What was that 1939 rally, for those who aren't up with their history?
It was staged by a group called the slogan was to make America great again, I believe, our variation on it, and it was staged by a group called the American German Bund, I believe, and it was a gathering of white supremacists, of pro-Nazi white supremacists in New York, to a rally of support for the Nazis.
Let's hear a little bit more. And this actually was at a rally in Pennsylvania yesterday where Kamala Harris spoke about Trump's authoritarianism. But first, she played some recent clips of Trump talking about what he calls the enemy within and what should be done with them.
The worst people are the enemies from within. The enemy from within. Those people are more dangerous, the enemy from within, than Russia and China.
People from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
It's coming from him. It's a serious issue. He is saying that he would use the military to go after them. Think about this. And we know who he would target. And we know who he would target because he has attacked them before. Journalists whose stories he doesn't like. Election officials who refuse to cheat by filling extra votes and finding extra votes for him. Judges who insist on following the law instead of bending to his will. This is among the reasons I believe so strongly that a second Trump term would be a huge risk for America and dangerous.
And then I see as well, Marion, that Hillary Clinton tweeted, "Let's be absolutely clear so that no one is confused. Trump's rhetoric has become blatantly fascist. All the warning lights for our democracy are flashing red. We must take him seriously and defeat him soundly at the ballot box." Marion, probably correct sentiments, but possibly the wrong person to be expressing them?
No, I think that really Americans need to talk about this. And I think that, you know, I wish that more Republicans would. This new Bob Woodward book that is out, General Mark Milley, who was the very top military general in the United States. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which is the pinnacle of the U.S. military. He told Bob Woodward, according to Bob Woodward, he's quoted as saying that he believes that Trump is a fascist and that these are his tendencies. You know, when you have the guy who wanted to work with Trump, you know, Milley went after that job and was mocked in some military quarters for his keenness to take the job. And he saw working next to Trump, and he saw throughout the George Floyd protests and etc., how keen Trump was to use the military on American citizens against American citizens. And he said it really alarmed him, and he has spoken about it a number of times since then. So I think that this is really serious, and I cannot understand for the life of me why more Republicans aren't coming out and saying, look, you know what, several have come out and said, we don't agree with Kamala Harris's policies, but this is too serious. But a lot of them are staying quiet.
Okay, Cal Thomas, I know you missed the first montage of Trump's comments that we played. It had been put together by the Politico website. I don't know if you heard the bits that Kamala Harris played to her audience and her comments in relation to it. But as somebody who is a conservative, are you concerned, worried, in any way angry at the way that the Republican candidate is appealing to racist and fascist sentiments?
Well, I am mad, and I have denounced that not only in my columns, but in radio interviews and on this show before. I think the language is unnecessary. It's appalling. It's un-American. And he doesn't need it. I mean, everything seems to be going his way. Young black voters are turning out to be more conservative and in favor of Trump. He's losing some of the Catholic vote, which has been very important to Democrats over many, many years. There's a great Bill McGurn column in today's Wall Street Journal about that very fact. And Kamala Harris's position when it came to pro-life pregnancy centers, and how she called a federal judge nominee when she was a senator, claimed he was a member of the Knights of Columbus, which, of course, is a Catholic men's fraternal organization, which John F. Kennedy was also a member of. And as McGurn says, Harris treated the group as though it were the Ku Klux Klan. So we're 3 weeks away from the election, Matt, and we've always been able to look at this inflammatory rhetoric during this period in the past. Not as bad as Trump, but...
can you remember anything like what Trump is doing in your lengthy experience as a reporter covering American presidential contests? Has there ever been anything like this?
Well, I think a case could be made. George Wallace, the former governor of Alabama, who said segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. He ran a racist campaign. A lot of people felt that Richard Nixon appealed to that sort of mentality of Southern white Democrats and managed to win many of them over, and they become a important part of the Republican base, along with evangelical Christians and increasingly some Catholics. So, again, I've said many, many times, Trump was never my choice for the Republican nominee, and I'm certainly not in favor of Kamala Harris either. It's going to be really interesting, though, when Kamala Harris is interviewed tomorrow on Fox News, of all places, by Brett Baer, who is a real journalist, who's very fair, who asks the tough questions. And I think I sent him an email this morning, and I said, please ask her the question that nobody else has asked. You have said that Joe Biden was cognitively okay, that he was sharp, that he was engaged every time you were with him, and so did every other Democrat. Would you like to revise those remarks now in light of what has happened?
Do you think it's Donald Trump cognitively okay? Because he's withholding his health records, and at many of his speeches and rallies and in interviews he's doing now, he is rambling. He calls it weaving, but it seems like rambling in the way that people used to criticize Joe Biden for.
Right. He should have stuck to the teleprompter. What he does, it's a lot better. But look, Bill Clinton never released his medical records. John Kennedy didn't release his medical records. We've had people.
They weren't 78 years of age.
Well, it doesn't matter the age. I mean, you know, we knew that we found out later that Kennedy had some serious back and other problems. Lyndon Johnson had health problems. Dwight Eisenhower had health problems, had two major surgeries when he was in office. But I'm a fan of, you know, Trump said he's been tested all the time. Well, let's see the results of the test, and let's have one that is recent and not done by his own doctor, but is done by an independent doctor so the people can see the results. I've said that over and over again, but obviously he's not listening to me.
Marion, what about all of the lies that have been told deliberately as well, particularly now which have encouraged armed militia to be out hunting FEMA because of the lies that FEMA hasn't been using its money for disaster relief, but to import immigrants?
Yeah, you know, Matt, this is part of a sort of a rising temperature in the US and a really palpably ugly mood here that honestly, and, you know, I really hate to say, but it seems that we are moving towards more violence. That you know, Donald Trump. Well, let's very quickly talk about. We'll go back to Springfield. You know, after J.D. Vance deliberately spread a lie about Haitian migrants who were there legally, stealing their neighbors' pets, their non-migrant neighbors' pets, and eating them, killing them. Children couldn't go to school there. The police and the army. The police had to go in and do bomb sweeps every morning in front of five-year-old children, and the level of violence there was so, the threats were so high, not just against the Haitians but against City Hall, bomb threats, etc. People couldn't go to work. Now we have a situation in North Carolina where, because Donald Trump is claiming that FEMA stole money that should have been going to disaster relief and used it for migrants, made entirely false claims. You now have these white militias who were came across by the National Guard, who were also working down there there to try and help with disaster relief. And they said they're hunting FEMA. So the FEMA officials who are working there were told to stand down, to go back to the office. So these people who are there to help the victims of this disaster cannot do their job because their lives are being threatened by white militias who are believing what Trump is saying and who are threatening to hunt these very people. It is absolutely astonishing. And, you know, I just want to go back very quickly to Matt, to something you said about Trump. I don't know if Andy saw what he did in Pennsylvania last night at a town hall where he decided he wasn't going to answer questions after two questions. The questioner was Kirsty Noem, who wanted to be his vice president. Hardly a tough questioner there. And he just played music. He played his playlist and stood around the stage and shook his arms and approximated dancing. If any other candidate had done that 3 weeks before the election, it would be over. But that was what I saw in Coachella. He just seems lethargic and disinterested, like a child who's bored, who isn't really that keen on doing what he was so happy to do for so long. And, you know, I really don't know where his head is at the moment, but I think the way he's behaving on the campaign trail alone is a serious sign for concern.
Carl, what do you think of this targeting of FEMA as it's involved in disaster relief, encouraging some armed militia to go out hunting FEMA?
I think it's outrageous, Matt. I mean, FEMA has been nonpartisan since it was created. They have enormous pressure on them with two hurricanes back-to-back, severe damage, North Carolina and parts of Georgia and middle of Florida. And this is a time when Americans should be pulling together, and many are. You have the Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, and just individuals helping each other. FEMA is overwhelmed. They can't be everywhere. And I think to make this a political issue, as I said last week on the program, is a disgrace. And let me just go back to the violent thing. I'm very concerned about this, not only now, but also after the election. We've had too much violence on both sides, the burning of federal buildings and homes and shops after the George Floyd death. People can't solve problems at the ballot box, so they take to the streets. This is something that needs to be denounced by both sides. I mean, I wish we could get a Republican, a Democrat leader, maybe the Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell, the current minority leader in the Senate, together with Chuck Schumer and some others, and say we together denounce violence, no matter what the motivation, no matter which side is doing it, and we condemn and deplore it. I think that would be something very, very helpful.
By the way, Marion, were you able to get a bus away from Coachella?
Well, you know, again, the chaos there was something, because it was 100 degrees there. People were in car parks waiting for hours in casino car parks. And then they couldn't leave because they couldn't leave the Trump rally early because the buses didn't start until it was over, which is one way of keeping them in the pen, I suppose. But honestly, to me, it's a sign of the motivation of Trump supporters, what they were willing to do there to, as I said, to wait around for hours in the scorching heat to get there, to wait around for hours afterwards to get out of there. These people are going to turn up and vote.
But then, Carl, tell us a little bit more about all the Christians who apparently are not going to vote. I mean, who's saying that? 32 million Christians likely not to vote.
Well, this came out of a George Barna, who is a Christian pollster, and Trump has always bragged. He bragged to me in 2016 when I interviewed him in New York that the evangelicals were part of his important base, even though he's not one of them and doesn't know the difference between 2 Corinthians and any other part of the Bible, can't quote a single verse from it, at least the last time I talked to him about it. The reason or the rationale, according to George Barna's survey, is that a lot of evangelical Christians are fed up with both parties. They don't think their vote matters. They think the whole system is corrupt. The problem with that kind of thinking is there are no perfect candidates, either Republican or Democrat. And if you choose not to vote, then basically you're giving a vote to the other side. And as far as the evangelicals are concerned, the polls show that therefore tougher border, fewer abortions, no men and women sports, and some of these other things. So if they don't vote, then the likelihood of politicians who believe in all of those things is greatly increased. I just don't understand the mentality.
Marion, Cal made reference there to the fact that Kamala Harris is doing a Fox News interview. What about the possibility that she'll do Joe Rogan to try and get to that male audience, younger men, who are perceived to be Trump supporters?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's no harm. I think, first of all, it's a good thing to do an interview with Brett Baer. As Cal said earlier, I agree. Brett Baer is a solid journalist. You know, he's not a Fox hack like most of them are. And I think he will ask her tough questions. I think, why not do it? I mean, he doesn't have as big an audience as the Sean Hannitys, but he still has a considerable audience. I think Joe Rogan is also a very good idea, because at this point, look, there's nothing to lose. I mean, Trump won't do another debate. He won't go on 60 Minutes. He won't go on any interview that will fact check him, apparently. So I think that she's right to be out there. People are saying, well, it's a bit late in the day. And, you know, it probably is a bit late in the day. But at the same time, she did only become the nominee in July. And then there was the convention and the debates and everything else. So I think it's no harm for her to get out there and to do as many interviews as she can.
Okay. And Cal, do you expect that we'll see a lot more of Barack Obama in the coming weeks, and indeed other Democratic senior heavy hitters who seem a bit quiet in their support for their candidate?
Well, there is a lot of rumors going around here in Washington these days that the Biden team and President Biden himself are very upset with Nancy Pelosi and many others who he believes, and the Biden team believes, undermined him unfairly after that disastrous debate he did with Trump. And so there's supposition that he is saying and doing things to undermine Harris. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think most people's opinions are fixed, and I don't think additional information, whatever it is going to change many votes. I don't think there are many undecideds left. As far as Obama's concerned, I'm writing about this in my column today. He got out there a couple of days ago and basically told black men that if you're not for Harris, you're a sexist. And I think the condescension that is expressed now for younger black people who are not wedded to the Democrat Party as their parents and grandparents who came through the civil rights movement are, is something that you shouldn't disparage, but you should try to court. But to come out and say some of the things that Obama's saying, and that remember what Biden said in 2020, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Speaking of black people on the Breakfast Club program. So that kind of attitude, I think, doesn't help you win any votes in the black community.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown. More on Friday's program. It's 3 weeks to go to the presidential election. So Cal and Marion are going to be joining us twice a week between now and then, and I suspect beyond as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.